CBS News correspondent Peter King on preparations for the next shuttle flight at the end of the month. I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Thursday, August 10th, 2006. Today's the day NASA stages its big dress rehearsal in advance of STS-115, the first mission for the shuttle Atlantis since the Columbia tragedy more than 3 years ago. At the Cape for this mission, as he is for every space mission, CBS News radio correspondent Peter King. Preparations underway for a fast turn, as it were. You know, you had Discovery just a month ago. Now you've got Atlantis getting ready to launch. It's almost like the old days, the halcyon days of the space shuttle program.
Well, almost. And remember, NASA has about 4 years to get the next 15 to 16 shuttle flights off the ground and get the International Space Station completed. So they've got a pretty good pace ahead, hoping to do two more flights before the end of the year, this one and one more in December that'll both be station construction missions.
Peter, are you getting a sense of a different attitude there at KSC from the Discovery launch and even the first return to flight a year ago and this Atlantis flight? Is this more of a business-like attitude at the center?
Well, I think it's always a business-like attitude. They're in the business of launching space shuttles, Pete, as we've spoken before, and I think they're just real happy to be back to doing what amounts to, for them, a fairly normal schedule of trying to get a number of flights off the ground. I don't notice any change in attitude. People are a bit happier, I think, now than they were. There's nothing worse than a launch crew that's got its shuttles grounded for 3.5 years or 2.5 years or even 1 year, and they're just glad to be very, very much back in business.
I guess what I was wondering was more about apprehension regarding the foam surrounding the external fuel tank.
Well, I think there's a great deal of confidence in the foam after the last tank, but the other thing you need to remember with this is that the last flight was only one flight. They got to go back and do it again this time, and then the time after that, and the time after that. So I think they're taking it very properly, so one flight at a time.
A very brief overview, if we could, about the crew in this STS-115.
Well, you've got Commander Brent Jett. He is a Navy captain, a veteran of 1, 2, 3 shuttle flights. This, I believe, is his second command. In the right-hand seat, Navy Captain Chris Ferguson, who is a rookie. One of the most experienced spacewalkers in the program is EV-1, the lead spacewalker this time around, Joe Tanner. He's joined by U.S. Coast Guard Commander Dan Burbank, who will be spacewalking. He's got one mission under his belt. Navy Commander, a rookie, Heidi Stephanishin Piper. Although on the official sheets she's listed as Heidi Piper, it's actually a hyphenated last name. 43 years old, she is a rookie. She'll be doing 2 spacewalks on her first space flight. And Canadian astronaut Steve McLean, who's a PhD, he's a veteran of 1 space flight. He'll also be spacewalking as well. Let's not forget the 3 astronauts still aboard the International Space Station, Commander Pavel Vinogradov, Army Colonel Jeff Williams, and Thomas Reeder from the European Space Agency.
Now, Thomas Reeder just set, and every day from this point forward, sets a new record in space. You up on that?
It's a record for endurance for a European astronaut. He's now over the 213-day mark. This combined with a Mir mission that he did between September 95 and February of 96. He is the first European Space Agency astronaut to be aboard the International Space Station. He broke the previous European record of 209 days, 12 hours, 25 minutes, and 11 seconds as he circled above the Earth last Friday. So he is now the all-time European space champion.
On Thursday, the crew of Atlantis will stage a dress rehearsal. In general, Peter, what is that about? How does that happen?
Well, it's called TCDT, the Terminal Countdown Demonstration Test. It's been done ever since the beginning of the space program. NASA also calls it a plugs-out test because it's basically everything up and running, but the shuttle is not fueled. And the astronauts will do everything Thursday that they would do during a normal launch day, except launch. They will climb aboard the shuttle about 2.5 to 3 hours before the planned liftoff time. They'll go through all the countdown regime. They will do all the switches. They will do all the checks. They will be in their suits and ready to fly, except they will not have fuel. They will not lift off. The clock will stop just before what would have been liftoff time.
Well, with regard to the shuttle itself, what kind of condition is Atlantis in? It's been in refurb, hasn't it?
Well, it has been, and interestingly enough, that's one of the questions that came up out at the launch pad during the question and answer session with the crew, and pilot Chris Ferguson was asked specifically about that because Atlantis has not flown in about 4 years, and so his answer was, you know what, we expect there might be a couple of minor things. You always hear about little pieces of debris inside that flow out from the nooks and crannies and weightless. Dust, you know, a washer here or there, that sort of thing. They expect some of that to happen, but they also think they've got a really, really clean vehicle because they've had so long to get it into flying shape.
We'll hear more from CBS News Radio correspondent Peter King in just a moment. But first, this Aerocast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
Why can't your aircraft engine help you be a good neighbor wherever you fly? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years. Why can't an airplane engine be just as quiet and just as reliable? Well, now it can. Check out the new leaner, cleaner, and quieter V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The V220 and V300T engines are capable of meeting and exceeding the most stringent noise regulations. The 3-to-1 propeller speed reduction unit keeps propeller tip speeds down to reduce noise. The engine management system reduces workload by providing single lever control, increasing safety and operating the engine at peak fuel efficiency. The EMS system allows the use of unleaded fuel, eliminating the need for reliance on avgas. In addition, the option of using automotive fuel can result in a significant cost savings. The V220 and V300T engines are significantly quieter and cleaner running than the existing engine designs used in today's aircraft. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
188 people, pilots and passengers, friends and flying buddies, husbands and wives, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons. 188 people are alive today because of VRS airframe recovery parachutes. Life-threatening emergencies become safe landings under the giant canopy of safety of a VRS airframe parachute. It's the VRS parachute that's made Cirrus one of the top-selling airplanes in the world. Why? Life-saving technology that works. The VRS parachute is available for retrofit on a variety of aircraft. Be a hero. Have the life-saving VRS airframe recovery parachute installed on your aircraft. You never know when your loved ones will need it. Visit us online at VRSParachutes.com or call today, 651-457-8651.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to our ANN special feature. CBS News radio correspondent Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. We're talking about the upcoming mission STS-115, the first time the shuttle Atlantis goes into space in about 4 years. Peter, this particular mission is really a business mission when it comes to the construction of the International Space Station. What do we know about this mission?
Boy, Pete, business doesn't even begin to tell the story here. This is going to be one of the most complicated shuttle missions ever flown, partly because of the nature of the task and partly because they are really jamming a lot of things into this timeline. They are bringing up with them a huge truss that is the backbone of the space station that will go on the left side of the station. It is the P3, P4 truss that is port side. That's what the P stands for. And attached to that will be a new set of solar arrays. Now, this is compacted down to about 45 feet or so to fit in the shuttle's cargo bay, but once it is lifted out of the bay, attached to the station, there are a lot of complicated connections to make for the truss and for the solar panels. This thing will expand out to somewhere in the neighborhood of 240, 250 feet, and the panels themselves will generate, well, it will increase the power generation capability of the space station by 25%, and that's going to be enough to help power some of the laboratory modules that are still to come in future assembly. But there is a lot going on in this. This mission. It's not just the assembly and the connections, which will take three spacewalks and a lot of robotics. Don't forget, they're still doing the in-flight inspections on flight day two. And interestingly enough, they do the first spacewalk the day after they dock with the space station, as opposed to giving everybody a day to get acclimated. There is a lot of work to do here, and they want to get right to it.
You know, I got a sense that they're picking up the pace a lot, not just on the shuttle, but at the International Space Station itself. I recall that Jeff Walker and Thomas Ryder were out there doing a spacewalk, I believe it was last week, and they got finished early, and they didn't get a chance to turn around and look at the view. They went right back to work.
Well, they went right back to work because EVA time is really precious, and what happens is they build in contingency time to these spacewalks, but they also have a list of get-ahead tasks that they can do if they run ahead of the timeline, and they did so well. I think they ran about an hour and a half ahead of the planned timeline and were able to get some extra things done as well. So they really, I mean, every minute outside is precious, and yeah, it's nice to get the view from time to time, but remember, they are out there to work.
Yeah, you got a job to do. There's no question about that. How closely coordinated are the efforts of the shuttle crew once they reach the station with the crew itself on the station?
Oh, well, it has to be very, very coordinated, and the station crew helps with logistics. They help with EVA. They help with robotics. They help with everything. The shuttle crew, once they get aboard station, they're helping the station crew as well. And remember, we just had a shuttle mission that was up there a few weeks ago. I'm pretty sure that they'll have some goodies to bring aboard and some things to bring back from the station this time, as they always do, offloading some of that mass so the station astronauts can have a little more room.
Peter, you mentioned three spacewalks in this mission, and there's a lot of construction work to go on. If I can ask subjectively, what do you see as the toughest aspect of this mission, STS-115?
Well, you know something, I'm the wrong guy to ask, but we did ask the right guy, and that would have been Commander Brent Jett out at the pad, and he thinks the biggest challenge is fitting it all in. It is a jam-packed flight plan, and you know how we sometimes joke that we're so busy we don't have time to go to the bathroom or eat.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost that busy for these people. And remember, shuttle flight plans are jam-packed by nature because they only have a limited amount of time in orbit. This one even more so.
CBS News correspondent Peter King at Cape Canaveral at the Kennedy Space Center. Peter, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks. We'll talk to you during the mission.
Peter, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs for CBS News Radio correspondent Peter King. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.